Virginia grudges to read his nosy, never lost his nosy. Only part of it is paid something. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask you for pardon of my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Mother Immaculate, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Now, I just want to suggest to you at the beginning of this meditation that you picture in your imagination Jesus on the cross, dying, and by his side, the two thieves, the good thief, who we have on good authority was called Dismas, and the other one whose name we don't know, the bad thief. Now, it was called good, called a good thief, because he was rewarded by our Lord for recognizing the kingship of Christ. So I think it's a good idea to have this picture in our minds at the beginning of this meditation on Christ the King. Now, the Gospel tells us that whereas the bad thief sneered at our Lord's title, King of the Jews, Dismas, on the other hand, very seriously and soberly and with great faith, acknowledged our Lord's kingship, the kingship of Christ, saying, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, our Lord reply, saying to Dismas, "This day you will be with me in paradise," has to give all of us great heart, because it seems that Dismas was given that extraordinary reward, the gift of heaven, for practically nothing, just for acknowledging our Lord's kingship. Well, that's how it appears at first. But, of course, we have to remember that he did have to endure the suffering of his crucifixion on the cross, because he accepted it as a deserved punishment for his sins. And he also acknowledged that Jesus had not deserved his cross. Now, at the beginning of the encyclical Quas Primus, written by Pope Pius XI, I think it was in 1931, but I can't be entirely sure, he tells us, that same Pope Pius tells us, that our Lord, although he's rightly called King, because he is Almighty God and Creator of the earth, and is its ruler, the ruler of the whole earth, that in addition to being King, because of being creator. He also deserves to be called king in his human nature, because in that human nature he conquered all evil and sin by his victorious death on the cross. So if you'll excuse me, I need a little drink of water. So, Jesus, by dying on the cross, deserved to win our hearts, to win our love, by suffering and dying for us. As we know, when he was on the cross, he was heard to say, "Sitio." And I think it was St. Basil the Great, one of the great fathers of the East, said, "Sitio, sitiri." I thirst to be thirsted for. And that Jesus, by in his death on the cross, was thirsting for our love. So Jesus did not win the victory over death and sin. By the assertion of his power, but through his love and generosity, he can be said to have won our hearts. So, in response to his tenderness and love towards us, we should respond, giving our hearts back to him. And so it's not surprising to find that Pope Pius XI, apart from establishing the feast of Christ the King, I think it was the last 31st of October, to begin with, at the same time invited everybody in the church to demonstrate their subjection to Christ the King by their consecration to the Sacred Heart. Now in the work, our Father, Saint Jose Maria, consecrated the work to the Sacred Heart of Jesus in 1952. I think this was done in the oratory of the Bibliotheca, which is a little oratory adjoining the office where our Father worked. Sometimes you see a picture of Saint Jose Maria writing at a desk. Well, if you could, I think it is more a hole through the wall behind his head you would enter into. the oratory of the Bibliotheca, and our father did the conjuration in the presence of Don Francisco Vives and Don Alvaro. Now, I did this on occasion to the fact that even though he had consecrated the work to Our Lady on the Feast of the Assumption to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, nevertheless, the enemies of the work were content with that and carried on sending things, letters to our father, which were really quite obnoxious. And our father lost his patience on one occasion, and he said something like, "Oh, well, why won't they leave us alone?" But then, in his heart, he made an act of contrition and said, "Oh Lord, that was not supernatural. What I should do is to surrender our hearts to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and consecrate the work to the Sacred Heart of Jesus." So he did that. But then, because he knew that it was the Pope's mind, and remember that Pope Pius XI was the Pope in the early 30s, when our father started the work. It was the Pope's mind to consecrate the church on the feast of Christ the King. Our father wanted us to renew our consecration to the Sacred Heart of Jesus on the same day. How, obviously, out of his love for the Pope and his loyalty. Well, then it seems to me, my brothers and sisters, that this is all that really remains for us to do in the last half of this meditation. So then we should pick up the consecration to the most Sacred Heart of Jesus, and perhaps all together in our hearts, renewing that consecration now in this meditation. O most sweet Jesus, divine propitiatory victim, for whose sake the Eternal Father promised that he would always hear our prayer, graciously accept the consecration of Opus Dei, which we now make to your Sacred Heart. Excuse me, another little drink. In consecrating to you our work with all its apostolic activities, we also consecrate to you our souls with all their faculties, our senses, our thoughts, words and actions, our works and our joys. We especially consecrate to you our poor hearts, so that we may have no other freedom than that of loving you, O Lord. So that's the first part of the consecration. So it's quite clear that we should go to meet this divine King with all the yearning of our soul. He presents himself to us under an appearance so human, so loving, so welcoming, stretching out his arms on the cross to invite all to come to him, showing us the wound in his side as the symbol of his love. So perhaps we can do what our Father suggested to us in the way, to enter into the wound of our Lord's side. Now, this is far from trying to escape his dominion. We can also beseech him to be the sole ruler of our mind and our heart, and be the complete master of our will. We should submit ourselves and all that belongs to us to, as it says in the collect of the Mass today, his most gentle rule. Saint Teresa of Avila has these words in The Way of Perfection, I think it's in chapter 22. You, my God, are an eternal King, and yours is no borrowed kingdom. When the Credo says, of your kingdom there shall be no end, this phrase nearly always makes me feel particularly happy. Yes, I praise you, Lord, and bless you, for your kingdom will endure forever. We can't help thinking, of course, that as St. Teresa suggests, through this consecration, we too, like the good thief, will be with our Lord in paradise. Here are some words now from one of St. Teresa's nuns. O divine King, most amiable Jesus, my Redeemer, my Saviour, my Spouse, my Master, and model. I renew today the total consecration of my being to you, begging you to take absolute dominion over me. Be my sovereign, my ruler, my guide. Direct and govern me entirely, so that everything may turn to your greater glory. Be king of my memory, of my intellect, of my will, of my emotions. I wish all to be completely subject to you, and I invite you to reign in me. Now, we've still got the prayer to say at the end of the words of the consecration. Let us pray. O God, who in the heart of your Son, wounded by our sins, has deigned to give us infinite treasures of love, give heed to the petitions that with filial piety we address to you. Make us love your Son Jesus and his Blessed Mother more and more each day. Give us a great love for the Church and the Pope, expressed in deeds of service. Keep us always united through love to the work, to the Father, and our brothers and sisters. Inspire our hearts with a burning zeal for souls. This is so true, because of course we know that our Lord's kingdom is a kingdom of truth and of love and of justice and of peace. Grant that your reign of peace may be established, not only in my soul, but also in my senses, so that in harmony with the upper part of my soul, it may give you glory and prevent me and not prevent something that would prevent my union with you. So we finish off the consecration. Grant us the grace to find our abode in the divine heart of Jesus, and establish in our hearts the place of your repose, in order that we can thus remain intimately united, so that we may one day be able to praise, love, and possess you forever in heaven, in union with the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we remember how, at the end of that consecration, our Father liked us to repeat three times, Cordia Jesu, Sacratissimo et Misericors, Dona Nobis Pacem. I feel sure that Our Lady will be by our side today to enable us to make a true consecration of our hearts to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Our Lord is there on the cross. All we could say as well in the tabernacle, and he'll be with us in the Holy Mass, which we're about to celebrate. And Our Lady will be there also to enable us to unite our hearts in love towards the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the most sweet heart of Jesus. He's waiting for us to give ourselves to him. Let's ask our Mother Mary to enable us to surrender our hearts with all our love to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. I give you thanks, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask you for help to put them into effect. My Mother Immaculate, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.